We all do this. We read these really fascinating articles. We highlight research papers. We furiously jot down notes during important meetings.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
Right. And we ingest all this data. But inevitably, almost all that information just sort of evaporates.
It really does.
Yeah, like you're left with a vague memory of the vibe of an article, maybe a single quote if you're lucky. But the hard specifics,
Yeah.
completely gone.
Just poof, out the window.
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. Because today we are looking at a really brilliant technical blog post. It's titled Cortex, What If Your LLM Was a Wiki Compiler?
Such a great title.
It is, yeah. And our mission today is to explore this radical new way of managing all that information you consume. We're looking at a system where an AI acts as like a dedicated programmer, and your personal notes act as a compounding code base.
Right.
And this is all achieved with zero bloated software.
Which is the crazy part.
Right. So, okay, let's unpack this. Imagine having a hyper-competent librarian who doesn't just, shelve your books for you, but actively cross-references every single sentence you've ever read automatically while you sleep.
Wow, yeah. And what's fascinating here is that, well, while having an AI librarian sounds incredibly complex, the most impressive part of the Cortex system isn't actually the AI itself.
Really?
Yeah, it is the extreme minimalism of the architecture. Like, it strips away almost everything we've come to expect from modern AI applications.
Oh, so.
Well, there are no massive proprietary databases holding your data hostage. There's no complex prompt chains hard-coded into the software. It's
Yeah.
entirely built around plain text on your hard drive and just basic file management.
Right, plain text. But, to understand why someone would go to the trouble of building a tool like Cortex from scratch, we kind of have to talk about the friction of learning.
Absolutely.
The author of this post sets the stage by bringing up Andrej Karpathy. And Karpathy is obviously a massive name in the AI
Oh,
space.
huge.
Yeah. And he previously described his own, like, really rigorous method for maintaining a personal wiki. The author notes that Karpathy's standard for a wiki isn't just, a static digital notebook. It's an artifact that is supposed to get smarter the more you feed it.
Right, because the key concept driving this whole thing is compounding. In a truly effective personal knowledge base, bringing in a new source shouldn't just result in one new isolated article sitting in a folder somewhere.
Right, it shouldn't just be a dead end.
Exactly. Ideally, according to the standard laid out in the source, a single new piece of information should trigger a whole cascade.
Okay, a cascade. What does that look like?
Well, it should update five existing articles with new context. It should create like two entirely new crosslinks between previously disconnected ideas. And ideally, it should surface an underlying pattern that you simply hadn't noticed before.
That's intense.
Yeah, the knowledge base is supposed to grow exponentially in value, not just linearly in size.
Which, I mean, that sounds like absolute magic until you look at the reality of trying to actually do that yourself.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Right. The author points out that the manual maintenance required to achieve that level of compounding is just brutal. Like, think about the physical workflow. You read a 10-minute article,
Okay.
then you have to sit down and summarize it, then you have to mentally search your own wiki to manually find the three or four pages it might relate to.
Which you probably forgot half of.
Exactly. You have to open those pages, write in the cross references, update your master index. I mean, the post explicitly states that doing all of this manually literally takes longer than reading the original article in the first place.
The massive time sink.
But wait, I have to push back on this for a second. To play devil's advocate for the listener,
Sure.
is manual maintenance really the enemy here? I mean, isn't the friction of writing it down manually, the physical or mental effort of typing out the summary and forcing yourself to find the links, isn't that how our brains actually commit things to memory?
That's a very fair point.
Right. Because if an AI does all the heavy lifting of linking concepts, aren't we just like outsourcing our own understanding and making our brains lazier?
Well, you're not wrong about the friction. The friction of note-taking is absolutely a proven cognitive tool for immediate retention. Writing things down definitely helps you remember them tomorrow.
Right.
But, and this is the big but, we have to look at the sheer scale of modern information overload.
The volume is just too high.
Exactly. The volume of data you are processing today, we're talking newsletters, white papers, books, podcasts, it far exceeds what the human biological memory evolved to index.
That's a really good point. We just aren't built for this.
We aren't. Your brain simply cannot hold thousands of cross-linked references simultaneously to synthesize them. You might, you know, remember the core thesis of a paper you read 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But you definitely won't remember the exact secondary data point from page 40 that perfectly correlates with an article you read this morning.
Right, right. There's just no way.
So manual friction is great for short-term retention, sure, but it becomes an insurmountable bottleneck for long-term, large-scale synthesis. Human memory drops threads. And that biological bottleneck is exactly why the author felt compelled to build Cortex.
Ah, okay. So since human brains can't do the manual linking at scale, Cortex steps in.
Exact.
But the author's design, and this is wild, completely flips the script on how we usually think about building an AI app.
It really does.
Yeah, so to help us grasp this, the author lays out a very specific mental model for how Cortex operates.
And it's a brilliant model.
It is. First, Obsidian, which is a popular Markdown note-taking app that acts as your IDE, your integrated development environment.
Right.
It's basically just the interface where you browse and read your files.
Right, your workspace.
Right. Second, the large language model, in this case Claude Code, acts as the programmer. And third, your wiki, so your collection of plain text node, that is the code base.
The code base, yeah.
It grows, it gets refactored, and it compounds, just like software being written by a developer.
Okay, wait, I need to pause here because this is the exact moment my mind was completely blown by this architecture.
Yeah.
Yes. This mental model is huge because most AI tools you use, they have the AI logic baked directly into the software, right?
Sure, like the developers write the code to tell the AI what to do.
Exactly. The developers write code that tells the AI exactly when and how to trigger. But Cortex itself contains absolutely zero LLM client code.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't ask for your API keys. There are no vector embedding pipelines running in the background. And there are no prompt chains hidden in the software. Cortex is simply an MCP server.
Okay, let's break down MCP for a second just so everyone's on the same page. That stands for Model Context Protocol, right?
Yes, exactly. Think of MCP as a standardized bridge. It's an open protocol that allows an AI model to securely interact with local files or external tools.
Okay.
Cortex just provides a tiny bit of infrastructure, the bridge, to let an AI read your text files and write new ones. That's literally all the software does.
So wait, if Cortex is just a bridge, where does the actual thinking happen? Where are the instructions?
This is the best part. The entire compilation logic lives in a plain Markdown file called the schema.
Just a text file.
Just a text document sitting in your folder. It's got plain English instructions teaching the AI exactly how you want your knowledge organized. It tells the AI, you know, when it's appropriate to create a new page, how it should format citations, and the rules for maintaining your index.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because of that, Cortex isn't an AI application at all. It's just a steering wheel and pedals.
Yes.
The AI is the driver, and this Markdown schema is the map. You aren't programming with the LLM, you are programming the LLM. The schema is the compiler specification, and your wiki is the output.
And think about what this means from a practical standpoint. By isolating the smarts into a plain text schema, you gain incredible flexibility.
How so?
Well, if you decide tomorrow that you want your AI to start tagging all your psychology articles differently, you don't have to rewrite a bunch of Python code.
Right, you don't have to be a developer.
Exactly. You don't have to wait for a software update or redeploy an application. You just open your text editor, change a sentence in your schema file from English into slightly different English, and hit save.
That is so cool.
Because the schema is the set of project instructions for the AI, you are shaping the complex behavior of a software system entirely through natural language.
Okay, but if Cortex has no AI code built into it, and it's just this bridge, how does a web link actually transform into a heavily cross-referenced wiki? Let's walk through the exact mechanics of this workflow, or I guess really the lack of one.
Yeah, the lack of one is a better way to put it.
Because the stats on this project are wild. The author built this entire system with just 15 source files and 5 runtime dependencies.
Which is almost nothing in modern software.
And the most shocking part, zero databases.
Right, so the workflow is elegantly simple. When you find an article you want to save, you don't fill out a form or tag it in some clunky UI. You just drop the URL into a specific folder on your hard drive called the inbox.
Just drag and drop.
That is your entire manual involvement. From there, a shell hook notices the new file.
Okay, a shell hook. For those who might not know.
Think of a shell hook as essentially a tiny digital tripwire in your operating system. When a new file hits that folder, the tripwire trips, and it sends a tiny text nudge to Claude Code, saying something like, hey, Cortex has 3 files in the inbox waiting to be processed.
And then Claude Code takes the wheel using those MCP tools we talked about.
Exactly.
The author breaks down the entire MCP surface area into just 5 tools, and they are remarkably straightforward.
Very simple.
First, there's Cortex Ingest. The AI uses this tool, which leverages something called Janer Reader, to visit the URL, strip away all the annoying ads and messy website code, and extract just the clean text.
Which is a lifesaver.
Right. Yeah. Then there's Cortex Writer. This is the tool the AI uses to actually create the wiki articles and inject all the internal links.
Right.
Then there's Cortex Diff to check what hasn't been compiled yet, Cortex Log to keep a running record of its actions, and Cortex Status to give you basic stats on your vault.
Yeah, and all 5 of these tools are just basic file input and output operations. The AI is literally just reading and writing text files.
And notice what's missing there. Because there is no database, everything is stored as plain text.
Mm.
The master manifest keeping track of everything is just a flat JSON file.
Yeah, just JSON.
Even the search function is completely stripped out of Cortex. The author explicitly outsourced search to a completely different MCP server called QMD, built by Toby Lutke.
Yeah, Toby Lutke from Shopify.
Right. But why outsource something as fundamental to a wiki as search?
Well, it's the classic Unix philosophy applied to AI. Do one thing perfectly. Cortex handles writing and compiling the knowledge. QMD handles finding it.
Makes sense.
And QMD uses BM25 and vector search. Vector search is, it's really crucial here because it doesn't just look for exact keyword matches. It maps the underlying meaning of words.
Okay, so like a semantic search.
Exactly. So if you search for exhaustion, it will find articles about burnout, even if the word exhaustion isn't actually in the text. Cortex writes the files. QMD searches the meaning of the files.
Wait, I need to stop you there. 0 databases, no task queue, no complex data pipelines running the show.
None.
How on earth does an application manage a massive interconnected web of thousands of concepts using just flat markdown and JSON files without the whole thing breaking, corrupting, or just losing your data?
I know. It sounds incredibly fragile until you realize it relies on one of the most robust technologies ever built,
yeah.
Git version control.
Ah, Git.
Yeah, because your entire state, every note, every link, every single log is just human-readable text files sitting in a folder. You can track every single change over time using Git.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Every time the AI makes a change, it's saved as a commit. You get automatic backups, a complete historical log of every edit, and total portability for free.
Because it's just files.
Right. You aren't locked into some proprietary cloud database format. If the Cortex software disappears tomorrow or the startup goes under whatever, your knowledge base is still just a folder of text files on your hard drive that you can read with any basic text editor. You own your brain forever.
That is so reassuring, honestly.
It is. And furthermore, the author points out, there is no compilation pipeline in the traditional software sense.
What do you mean by that?
In normal software, you have a rigid pipeline, a directed acyclic graph, or DAG, which is basically a strict set of factory train tracks. Step A must happen before step B, and if anything unexpected happens, the whole line just crashes.
Right.
Cortex has no DAG. No build system. The AI agent's own real-time reasoning is the pipeline.
Wow.
It reads the schema, looks at the files, decides what makes sense to do next, and uses the 5 tools to do it. It's off-roading.
That's wild.
And the beauty of this is that when better AI models are released in the future, your compiler instantly gets smarter and faster without you having to change a single line of code.
Okay, so you have this incredibly flexible system of just text files constantly being rewritten and updated by an AI that's off-roading through your shoulders.
Yeah.
If it's constantly overwriting files to update your wiki, how do you prevent the AI from hallucinating over your original source material and, like, permanently deleting or altering the actual facts?
Yes, that is the crucial problem. And the minimalist architecture solves it through a very specific philosophical approach to how data is handled.
Okay.
The author makes a hard structural distinction between what is considered a fact and what is considered an interpretation. In Cortex, sources are immutable and wiki articles are mutable.
Immutability meaning they can never be changed.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is actually a masterclass in epistemology, how we know what we know.
Okay, getting deep.
According to the source, once a URL or document is ingested by the AI into the source's folder, it is locked. It has never, ever changed. It serves as a permanent, unalterable record of exactly what you consumed on that day. The wiki articles, however, are highly mutable. They live in a completely different folder and are continuously being rewritten, refined, and updated by the AI as new sources are introduced.
Oh, wait. It's exactly like a courtroom.
Yes.
The sources you drop in the inbox are the physical exhibits entered into evidence. You know, the security footage, the financial records. They are locked in the evidence room. They cannot be tampered with.
Exactly.
And the wiki is the lawyer's closing argument. It constantly adapts, changes, and evolves as new evidence is introduced to the court, but the original evidence remains untouched.
That's a perfect analogy, and the practical benefit for you, the user, is a clean, unbreakable chain of trust. Every single claim the AI synthesizes in your wiki contains a markdown citation linking directly back to the immutable source document.
So you can always verify it.
Always. If you read a synthesized claim in your wiki and think, wait, that doesn't sound right, you aren't forced to just blindly trust the AI. You can click the citation and instantly view the exact untouched source text.
That's brilliant.
And here is the really brilliant part. If you realize the original source was fundamentally flawed, or maybe it's just outdated science, you don't delete the source.
Oh, really? You keep it?
You leave the source as a historical record of what was claimed, and you update your schema or wiki to reflect that the source is no longer considered accurate. You are strictly separating the raw evidence from the active synthesis of that evidence.
Man, that is incredibly smart. Okay, so we've established this uncorruptible automated architecture. But what does it actually look like when you live in this system for, say, a month? What is the actual payoff for setting up this automated librarian?
Right, the day-to-day.
The author describes their daily workflow. They just drag URLs into the inbox folder, Claude Code quietly updates the Obsidian Wiki in the background, and every single claim is meticulously cited. But the author notes that the real magic doesn't happen immediately, does it?
No, it takes a little time. It happens when you cross a specific threshold,
right,
which is about 50 sources.
Okay, so why 50?
The 50 source mark is where the system practically wakes up. When you only have 10 or 20 sources, the AI is mostly just acting as a very neat indexer. It summarizes and links obvious things.
Pretty standard stuff.
Right. But the author observed that once the system has ingested around 50 different documents, something remarkable happens. Because the AI is constantly scanning the entire code base of your knowledge with every new addition, it starts generating synthesis articles that the user never explicitly asked for.
Whoa.
Yeah. It begins connecting themes across wildly disparate sources.
Give me an example of what that looks like in practice.
Okay, so imagine you drop in a highly technical paper on, say, behavioral psychology 1 week.
Okay.
Then 2 weeks later, you drop in a casual blog post about UI design.
Two totally different things.
Right. The AI, reading the new UI post, recognizes the underlying behavioral concepts from the paper you saved weeks ago. And without you prompting it, the AI automatically generates a brand new wiki article explaining the intersection of those two specific fields, citing both sources.
That is mind-blowing.
It surfaces patterns you didn't even know you were collecting.
So what does this all mean? It means your reading time is finally yielding interest. For most of us, reading is a depreciating asset.
Very true.
You read a brilliant book, and every day that passes, you forget a little more of it until it's just a vague feeling. But with a system like Cortex, reading becomes a compounding asset.
Yes.
The more you feed it, the more valuable every new piece of information becomes, because it suddenly has this massive, meticulously organized web of existing knowledge to connect with and enhance.
That's exactly it.
As the author beautifully puts it, the best tool is the one that disappears. There's no dashboard to manage, no complex UI to navigate, just you dropping links into a folder and watching your personal knowledge graph grow.
It completely changes the entire relationship you have with the information you consume. You stop hoarding bookmarks and start actually building a personalized web of insight.
Absolutely. So to wrap up our deep dive today, we've explored a radically minimalist approach to knowledge management. We've seen how combining a simple note-taking app like Obsidian, just 5 basic file manipulation tools, and an AI model acting as a compiler can solve the compounding knowledge problem that even Andrzej Karpathy struggled with.
Yeah, it's a huge leap forward.
By turning your notes into a code base and treating the AI as a programmer guided by a simple text schema, you get an automated compounding personal wiki, and you get it with zero database bloat, meaning you own your data forever.
It's incredible. But, you know, this raises an important question, though, one that the author's architecture hints at, but kind of leaves open for us to ponder.
Ooh. What's that?
Well, if your personal AI compiler can synthesize your unique web of knowledge, drawing connections across dozens of disciplines better and faster than you can consciously remember them, where does your actual knowledge live?
Oh.
Right. Is it still inside your biological brain, or has it permanently migrated into your markdown files? And what happens to our own human intuition when the deeply cognitive act of synthesis is fully automated?
Man. Now that is something to think about the next time you drop a bookmark into a folder and just forget about it.
Definitely.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Cortex. We hope it sparks some ideas for how you manage your own digital world. Until next time, keep exploring.